Welcome to Marketing Money Podcast. Roll it. Welcome back to another episode of the Marketing Money Podcast.
Been going for like, how long have we been going?
5 years.
Really?
Probably. Yeah, it's been a while.
Way more than five.
Maybe six, seven. I don't know. I don't keep up with it.
I think it may be like 10.
You think so?
I think it may be.
We need to go back and check.
Seems like we should know. If anybody should know.
Do you think LeBron James knows exactly how many points he scored at every moment of every game? I've often wondered about this because when I played basketball—
I bet Steph Curry does.
So when I played basketball in games, I would know how many points I had.
Yeah.
Like in high school, like I'd be like, okay, I'm at 10, I'm at 11, 12. Like I would know the points in my head.
I do think better players may not—
And it was more like six or five, but yeah. I'm just saying. I did know in my mind what—and I wonder like when— Kobe put up 80 points that time, whatever.
81.
Did he know he had 81? Did he know?
It was Jalen, right?
Like, it was Jalen. Yeah. Did he know that was in his mind, was like, well, I have 65, I have 50, or was he just like scoring and I'll look at
I'm
it?
I'm curious because at the half, I would bet, like, that's the thing, like, your other players know not to say in the locker room, like, dude, you got like, You're at 45.
I remember Adrian Peterson, if you remember the running back when he was with the Vikings, that season he was trying to break the single season rushing record. Now, yards would be hard to keep up with because you have no idea if you get tackled. Was it seven or nine?
Yeah, I don't think you have any sense on
that. And he ran up to it was the last game of the season and he missed it, I think, by 5 yards. Or it was like real short. And the reporter's like, hey, great game. You rushed for 128 yards. You're five short of the record. How do you know? He goes, I was only five short. He's like, God, he was mad. He's like, I couldn't get one more carry in there. Like, he was mad at his coach. You know, like, y'all didn't know up in the booth to give
me. Gronk, they gave Gronk that, you know, design play at Tampa Bay to break a record.
Oh, yes.
But to get his bonus.
To get his bonus. Yeah. He had to have so many touchdowns or catches in a season. And I think some people know and some don't.
From a management standpoint, though, like, that's more cash out to your players. So, like, there is some, like, weird management thing in your mind that's like, if he doesn't get his bonus, we've still got the same player that.
Well, that's like
there's some managers that would do that.
Well, that's like us
keep you from getting your.
Yeah, I'm telling you right now, there may be, I wouldn't say more incentive, but there are incentives with like sponsoring our golfers on the PGA Tour.
Yeah,
you know, it might be financially best for the bank for them to like get second in the Masters.
You still get much out
because you get
the
PR.
The best would be to lead until Sunday and then tank because not only would they be on TV all the way till Sunday, but just tanking would be a story in itself.
I don't wish it on anybody, but like Russell Henley was a good brand ambassador for us. He led the U.S. Open for like 68 of the 72 holes and he was on TV all day. Our phones were blowing up like, text getting and then 4 holes left he had like a couple bad holes and he didn't win and I was like, look, all things being said, I'd much rather have him win the US Open and be guaranteed Matt all the majors, your logo everywhere, but the fact that he didn't win it in the last 4 was like, we didn't have to pay that big incentive check for him winning it. Now you want to pay the incentive check, so not get me wrong, because that means they're doing well.
There's a little bit of like,
but there's times I guess my budget stays the same, and I got lots of PR.
You're excited, but then you're like, oh, what if I got a cut to?
And I can tell you on the flip side, we have a lady golfer, Allie Ewing, and the lady golfer, should you say lady golfer?
We got the girl banker. We didn't have the lady golfer.
Yeah, we can have a lady golfer. Anyway, she's a golfer. I don't know why I'm just being an idiot.
We have a lady golfer.
Just dumb. She's
1950. Put your cigarette out there, John.
Yeah, that's just brain idiot. But that's it. That's on me. That's being an idiot. We have a golfer. She's incredible. And anyway, she out incentivized her contract.
Yeah.
So if the contract was for a certain amount, she doubled it by playing well.
That's awesome, yeah.
And you're like, that's awesome. And then Sam, you're like, but that hurts the old wallet just a little bit. So it can go either way on the incentivization.
What were we talking about? Like, how do you keep up with how many points you have? And
yeah, so I was getting to somehow going to get that back into some focus of you're interviewing people constantly for jobs over here. Uh-huh. We interview not quite as constantly, but it's because banking's more conservative and the town we live in, there's just not a lot of marketing positions and maybe talent, no offense, the ones that are here. But that being said, I love the sarcasm. That being said, if I'm 24 years old and I want a job at an ad agency or in marketing, give me some do's and don'ts that you see from the people.
Go work 10 more years. And no.
Well, that's the thing. I don't have experience, and you don't have experience. Okay, but you've got too much experience. You know, you can't get the job without experience, but you can't get experience without the job. That's the old thing.
So I think there's a lot of categories. This first thing is going to have a specialty.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a lot of jobs that are going to create that. Like if you're a graphic designer, that's a specialty. If you're a videographer, that's a specialty. A writer, specialty. The general MBA marketer or whatever, or baccalaureate, I have a marketing degree. Right out of school, it's really tough to find a role for them. And I think any place, anywhere.
Because I don't have graphic design or coding or a technical skill that you can immediately put to use. A low-end sort of client manager.
Yeah.
Relationship manager.
Well, I mean, you just have to put them in. And what, I'm not saying that marketing graduate should have a specialty in a discipline like a creative discipline. But if that person can develop a specialty throughout their education, so maybe they are in sales. Maybe that what they've been doing for their college job while they're in college is some sales-oriented thing. Digital marketing, media buying, going and working. I think getting an internship we think about like a graphic design intern, or at least at the agency world we do, is like that's a big thing. I mean, if you're a good graphic designer, you're going to get a job. Then it's up to talent. It may not be the job you want, but if you're a good graphic designer, you're going to find a job.
Oh, I think it's one of the most needed jobs out there.
Web developer is the most needed because no one wants a full-time job as a web developer. And there are not many accredited schools popping out web designers and developers. Yeah. But a general, just an old marketer, are you a strategy person? Well, I'm sorry to be ageist. It's really hard to be a strategy person no experience.
To me, that's the death knell is when I interview someone and they're 24, 25, have had a college internship job, but never like a...
I'm really into strategy.
And a strategy. I want to sit down and figure out our strategy. And I'm like, I'm glad you're interested in it, but you're not going to make any strategic... Put it this way. For those listening, unless it's your own business or some type of extreme tech, Bitcoin, something that no one knows about, really, you're not going to make a strategic decision for a company until you're probably past 35, at least in banking.
Yeah.
And I hate it. It's ageist. It is absolutely ageist.
It's not... It is a thing that tracks with age, and it's called experience. Certainly I can think of one in particular right now who probably knows who I'm talking about in Atlanta that I mean, there's always exceptions to rules, but he also has a specialty. That's where I go back to, like you said, like Bitcoin or something nobody's ever heard of. You can be a strategist if you have a specialty. And I mean, I would say like, you know,
Social media is one where a younger demographic could work there.
Will out-strategize you.
Yeah, agree to that.
Yeah.
But if you're talking about overall corporate strategy, that's where I'm getting
to. It drives me crazy with my little leather side hustle how hard it is for me to build content for that. But it's just like easy for them kids to do.
Oh, check out like a Barstool for a sports team, a travel sports team. Their little Barstool accounts. It's just like, it looks like a reality show.
Yeah.
Being like their lives are... being just, you know, put out, here's the score, here's the play, here's the, oh, here us eating at the restaurant, here us clowning around, here's some old pictures, and you're going, that's a pretty good form of social media marketing.
Better than most corporate.
It is. It's just, but they're marketing to themselves. Yeah. So it's the parents not, there's no messaging, there's no goal.
The kid that does that, and they can put that on their reel.
Well, they understand the technicalities.
Yeah. But again, that's a specialty. Getting Google certified is basically free for a lot of those levels of certification. And some are like, an employee said, can I get, I want to take this Google certified class. And they thought it was free. There's no harm in that. I thought it was free too. I didn't look close. I said, of course you can do that.
$1,200.
No, it was like $5 a month for 6 months or something. I was like, yes,
no, you can't do it.
Please. And I, the person was asking to do it during work hours. That was the ask, not for me to even pay for it. And I was like, I'll do that and I'll even pay for it. They're like, really? I said, yeah. Anyway, I mean, the biggest thing I can tell you is find a specialty. That person that walks in that's just like, I don't know where to put that person. Like, I mean, even in that like low level, all of our positions, we are looking for a specialty. Like, so we have relationship managers instead of account executives. And it helps if they've been in some sort of sales or management of some sort of team. Then the person that supports them is what we call a traffic coordinator. And you would think, well, that's a little bit lower level. And they're kind of, no, it's not a lower level at all. We like accountants in that role, like a baccalaureate of accountant. Of accounting, because they're not, they don't want to be a CPA. They don't want to go be a traditional accountant.
But they understand numbers and organization.
And they understand, basically what it is this project is due this date. There's a billable associated with that. Manage it to get that billable done that day. Media coordinators. I want somebody that's worked at a TV station, bought digital media. How do you go get that? Well, I think that the college degree, and I think you'd probably agree with this, is worth less than it's ever been worth.
Well, the internet created a means of commerce that anyone can understand now, where it used to be, how do I get my message out? Well, now it's there.
I think we've made an economy of doers. And if you're just, if you're a degree holder and not a doer, you're going to lose to the doer. You're going to lose to the person who has developed, all I can say is developed that specialty. I mean, beyond that, it's just being good at your job. Like, I want the best graphic designer. I used to tell my graphic designers, I mean, in the early years of hiring people, I didn't really start hiring probably until, really, really hiring until probably, what, a year and a half, 2 years in business, to maybe even 3 years in business.
You mean when it was just the Josh and John show?
Yeah. Well, no, actually it was like five, because, I mean, that's when we started having our first, we're 16 years old and we started having our first, we have an 11-year employee. One of the things I would tell them, it's kind of crazy to think about just doing it for 5 years, just like, Just doing it.
Yeah, there was, like, if we had an idea, we had to do it.
You're like, we got a branch opening. Bring your camera.
And then set up, make the pictures, create the graphic design, place the ad, sign off on the ad, run it through compliance. It was just you and I doing it.
Yeah. And we had some help, Casey and some other people in that time and all that.
Whatever.
But
yeah.
But one of the things I would tell those designers, and I should tell more, is, are you okay with the next person I hire being even better than you? It's probably a weird and maybe crappy thing to tell people, but what I was trying to communicate is, we're not backing up. Like, if you're the first graphic designer, I want to hire, like, why would I hire somebody not as good as you as the next one?
But that's a weird thing. That'd be like on a basketball team. If you're the coach, just depending on sports, like, I'm not going to get Steph Curry over here because he might be better.
But I do think some people think they don't.
I want the best people on my team I can afford.
One, hiring young people, I felt compelled to tell them that, or maybe I just want to be honest and transparent with them that, like, and cast my vision is that we want to keep getting better. You know, 10 hires later, and luckily the people I told that to are not the worst designers here. They didn't get supplanted by anybody else. It gave them a challenge, and I guess it just—
Well, you got to have somebody pushing you.
Yeah, it just hit them in their, you know, whatever. It gave them that bit of challenge. I mean, one of our senior designers, obviously an important guy, you know, two of the other designers that I hired that have the longest tenure here have completely different, grew into completely, well, not completely different roles. Being able to give that challenge and understand that there is a challenge with today, I'll say this, one of the things I see with new, that 24-year-old, another thing I would counsel is patience.
You're not going to hire them as VP for $85,000 straight out of school?
Well, not even that. I mean, I think there may be people out there that think they're going to get hired for 35 or 40 year one and be making 80, 85 in year two.
Are they going to double and a half their salary or double their salary?
That's hyperbolic, but I would just say, you know, I was 28 when I started this business. And so it's not like I was some old head, you know, doing this. There's a balance, like I said, setting that brass ring out and making a challenge and telling people to go accomplish while still telling people to remain patient.
It's hard.
It's a hard balance. But I've had to counsel patience since I've employed people. But the amount of patience I've had to counsel has grown exponentially. You can be anything you want. You just can't be everything you want.
True.
I think it was a saying like that. In other words, like, you can be the president of the company, but you can't get it. You can't get it exactly when you want it, maybe.
I think that's true with careers. When I talk to young folks, the things I tell them is learn how to write.
Oh, yeah.
I will tell you this, and joking fully accepted here, I'm one of the worst texters out there. I text just freely, not even reading what I text as far as like proofing and just send it. So I'm not talking about errors or grammatically. I'm talking about being able to.
John is kind of a, one of those 30 for 30 stories of having like an innate skill that he practices very
poorly.
Poor the execution. It's like somebody with a really weird jump shot, but that's a 60% shooter.
Yeah. So that's my point is, can you get a message across? Can you put a thought together?
Well, it's universal.
Yeah. And so that's when I always say being able to write, being able to interview well. When I was teaching business and professional speaking in college or at colleges, I would always say, you can be the best engineer in the world. You can be the best typist. You can be the best, and typist like it's 1940, but you can be the best
girl bankers.
You can best lady bankers. You can be the best lady banker.
Lady golfer. The typist in the.
You can be whatever it is. And brain's not working today. Too early. But if you can't interview, well, you won't get the chance to use your talents because you can't. You've got to get past that barrier of communication. And funny that the lady golfer deal. There was a video. Guy, it was so cringy. As cringy as me saying that on a LinkedIn with the videos that had this woman who is a professional golfer 20 years, and she was at like a driving range, and she's got a really great swing, and she's swinging, and this dude walks up behind her and he starts giving her swing tips. And she handled it like a pro, pun intended. She looked at him and was just like, okay, thanks. But like, she was attractive. He was flirting with her, and it was just so cringy because he's like, you know, if you brought it back slower, and she's just like, dude, I'm on tour. Like, And he's just assuming, lady golfer, he's just assuming it's just some rando girl hitting balls. Yeah. And she's like been on tour for 15 years.
Which is hilarious because any guy with any sense would have been, with more sense, would have been.
Would have seen one swing and been like, oh. That's the flirt there.
That was the flirt.
If you're going to shoot your shot, you should have said, hey, your swing looks really good.
Could you give me some tips?
But instead he was like, here's what you should do. And she just smiled. And whoever recorded it was like snickering. And then when I saw it, I was like, ooh, that's like bad, bad.
Yeah.
So there are worse people than me saying lady golfer in the morning.
Sometimes you ain't got game and sometimes you ain't got game.
Both.
Here's the thing I would give anybody if we're talking about interviewing, and this is to the 24-year-old or to the 44-year-old. And this is something I tell everybody that interviews, like kind of the opening preamble is, don't try to win the interview. You talk about people that interview well and don't interview well, and I agree completely with writing. It's one of the few, what you mean is just communication, but it's even better when you can put it in writing because every ad starts with a written concept.
Plan has to be written down.
You have to email the client. Like everything, like being able to create a cogent thought that other people can understand is a great skill. But I go to interview skills. It becomes apparent when someone really doesn't care about the job, but wants to win the interview. Like it's a contest. Like, I want to be the best candidate that you've ever interviewed, but it elevates beyond the job and they're just trying to be the best candidate. It manifested a lot of different ways, like butt kissing sometimes, blowing smoke. Like, I can't believe you're such a great leader.
You're just like, you don't even know.
Look, for a guy that's supposed to have as much ego as I have, I do not like compliments first. And yes, I fail daily. But what I always counsel people to do is, and I'm a weird interviewer, I like people to ask me questions because one, that tells me what they're interested in. I had one person ask, what skills are you going to give me that I can take to my next job?
That's what they asked?
They asked that. I was like, all-time bad interview question or bad interview interaction.
I didn't know I was prepping you for the next guy or girl or whatever.
I was like, well, I need to know your timeline and when you're looking for that next job because that's going to affect. Somebody somewhere told somebody to ask that question and they did that person a disservice. But
it's the old what color's your parachute book that, by the way, I would recommend if you're looking for job tips. It's a pretty good book. But in that book, it talks about—
What parachute, said the business owner.
Well, the business owner wants to know what you can do for them. Yeah. And the worker wants to know, or the hiree wants to know what you can do for them. And those are two completely opposite things. Like, he wanted to know what you would train them to do. And you're sitting here going, what are you going to do for me?
I would say this is when you know it's a good interview and why I like people asking me questions. when their questions align
with what you're with what for.
Then that's when you know it's magic.
Yeah.
And I would say that would be true. And they're bad interviewers too. I don't know that I'm a particularly good one. But you know what I'm saying? Let's, okay, tell me one time when you've had a challenge and how you overcame it.
Like, see, I blame that on the interviewee. Like, it's like those kind of like stale, what's your biggest weakness? Tell me about a time when, like, those, like, let's just talk like people.
And, yeah.
And well, like have I said, a conversation.
But I think that's,
I prefer like a lunch conversation or like going somewhere and hanging out and talking. Yeah. It's easier to hire higher level employees that have a work history. Because you don't even have to worry about interviewing them over their skill set. You just need to know if the personality fits well with your management in the office. Like Chris Hussey, shout out to him. I'd known him for years, sort of indirectly kind of recruited him when we talked, you know, and then their bank that he was with went through a big M&A and they were having some reshuffling and he thought it was a good time to leave. And so we didn't even really interview about, and he would tell you this too, we didn't even really interview about his skills. Didn't even have to ask him.
Well, you already knew him socially, too, so.
So it was just like, what would his role be with us, and where would he best fit? And for me, it was the same thing. So that's to your point. That lines up really well. Like, what role, how does he fit our company? Yeah. And to him, it's, how's the company fit me? What's my role? There was never do you know how to do this? Can you show up on time? None of that stuff. Yeah. It was just, hey, and he's been a great hire.
Yeah.
And so my point, that's. For me, that's the good one, is when you interview someone and it's more about personality and style and where they fit in your company than like, do you know how to code or do you know how to, you know, and like, where am I going to be in 5 years? Dude, I'm hopefully working for you. Like, that's the, you know.
All-time worst interviewee question, where do you see me in 5 years? I mean,
the answer, honestly, is hopefully working for you if this works out. That's winning the interview type question.
Or vice versa.
Yeah,
you know,
hopefully you're working
here. Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Maybe promoted once and doing well.
Hopefully that question has died in the hallways.
Well, and the biggest weakness question.
I care too much.
I care. Yeah. Just whatever. Was that Michael Scott that said that? I care too much.
Well, I think it's just because it's so cliche.
Or the other one is I'm overly detailed or something like that. Yeah. Like it's the answer they teach you is, or what that was taught in school was make the negative a positive.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that's sometimes I take a little too long to make a decision because I really want to consider all angles or something.
You're like, I don't know. I don't ask the question. If I do, I do it as a joke. Like, I'll be like, hey, tell me your biggest weakness. Kidding. Like, let's talk about what
you
do.
I've just been doing this so long that, like you said, I just want to have a conversation. You can tell a lot. Like, it's funny when you're trying to have a conversation with somebody, you're interviewing them, and they, like, bring it back to, like a corporate interview.
Yeah, like it gets real natural, and you're just talking, and then they'll be like, so tell me about the culture, and you're just like, whoa, it was cool.
I'm demonstrating my culture right now.
Yeah, I've had a couple of those too. And sometimes it's just youthful inexperience and they feel like they've got a level set to like, you know, get to where they're supposed to be. And you're just like, hey, don't, just talk. Let's just talk. Yeah. We'll figure out if it's good.
The other thing I'll say around hiring, just because we're probably talking to people more that are interviewing than people that are interviewing employees more than employees that are interviewing for a job. Please, hopefully, if you listen to the podcast, because we haven't said this in a long time, you're not doing the stupid looking for some, sorry to just call it stupid. If you're doing this, it's stupid. Job description with somebody that's like, wants a writer, graphic designer, videographer.
We've talked about that, eight jobs. And
$25,000 salary.
Yeah.
You want to hire an agency in one person. And I'll just tell you, look, I am proficient in all of those things. I'm probably one of the better people you could hire that has worked as a graphic designer, a writer, a videographer, PR journalist,
but all those
jobs
individually are
web developer
$50,000 jobs. Yeah. I mean, what are you trying to hire? You're trying to hire a $500,000 person that when they got to that level wouldn't be doing those things. They'd be managing six people.
All I'm telling you is I can do all those things, and there's not no amount of money I would work for, but I wouldn't be
good valuable.
I wouldn't be good enough to work for the cumulative salary because you wouldn't be able to do all those in a job.
We're hiring for a social media manager. Also, can you do budgeting and can you write press releases and you're just like, what? Just no.
Well, it's just people. It's just greed. It's people wanting to get everything for lower cost.
Well, I also think it's a lot of times, especially in our industry of banking, the lower cost, but they don't understand marketing very well, especially at the, when someone who's at the top of the house came from a lending background or a credit background, and marketing's always been just something you had to do, but it wasn't something that was necessary for your job. And now you're over market, you're over the person that's over marketing, and they come to you and say, hey, we really need a social media manager. And they're like, yeah, well, can you get them to do Salesforce too? Can you get them to set up our Pardot account? Can you get them to, can they do public relations as well? Because social media isn't something we just need a person for. And you're like, really? Because you have four accounts running with on five different platforms, and they all want content every day. Plus, every lender or mortgage originator needs social media presence. But yet you want me to go do all this other stuff that isn't what you're originally hiring for the core of the job to do.
Well, I just remember working for somebody early on, interviewed for a role, web development was never talked about. You know, 6 months, somebody was like, we heard that you did websites. And I was like, who'd you hear I did websites from? They're like, you need to redo our website. And I was like, that's not.
I didn't know.
What you hired me to
do. Know.
Like, that's not a skill that I brought to the table for the salary we agreed on.
Yeah.
So, you know, to not get fired, I did the website, right? I mean, because that's what you.
That's what you do.
Yeah. I was pissed the whole time, though.
I like when people that work for you internally, like do something on the side and then offer to do it, but want to get paid an extra salary for it. Like, you know, I take pictures on the side, right? Like, that's my hobby. Oh yeah, great. I'd love to do them for the bank. Okay, sure. We have a grand opening. Yeah, I'll bill at about $100 an hour. You're like, but you work for the bank.
Yeah.
But I'm using my equipment. Okay, we'll lease it from you.
Yeah.
I mean, or you can expense the time.
It's just a tough argument, right?
I agree. So anyway, all right, well, for the Marketing Money Podcast, we hope we've given you some insights on how we interview and think through interviews these days. A little rambly, but a little ramble never hurt anybody if they're driving down the car and want to listen to things. So anyway, we'll talk to you soon.
Views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual participants and do not reflect the official policy or position of any financial institution or agency, Renasant Corporation, Renasant Bank and its affiliates, or the Mabus Agency. For more information, please visit marketingmoneypodcast.com.